Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Reed Tracy. Reed is president and CEO of Hay House, Inc., the largest and most influential self-empowerment publishing company in the world. Acquiring hundreds of prominent authors over the years, Reed has played a critical role in the strategic development of authors such as Wayne Dyer, Christine Northrup, Jerry and Esther Hicks, and Doreen Virtue. He's also produced more than 12 successful PBS specials that have raised over $100 million for public television. Most recently, he's also been executive producer for several movies, and he is responsible for heading up Hay House's worldwide publishing company. Reed, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Vicki. Good to talk to you.
If we could start, for those who have not had the pleasure of meeting you, if you could start by sharing a little bit about how you came to your passion and purpose, which is Hay House and getting author stories out all over the world.
Sure. Well, I started at Hay House 29 years ago. Before I worked at Hay House, I was a CPA. So I was doing accounting at a public accounting firm, and Hay House was one of our clients, and they were across the hall from our office on Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica. And I was doing their accounting, and they decided that they wanted to bring someone in as a financial director. And at that time, I decided that I didn't want to do public accounting anymore. I wanted to work with a company directly, but I didn't really know anything about publishing. I didn't know anything about self-improvement or self-help or anything like that. I just knew that Louise had this company, it was doing well, and I trusted that Louise believed that what she was doing, and she was helping all these people, so I decided to give it a try. And I got hired at Hay House as the financial director, and about 2 years after I got hired, I got promoted to vice president, and like some people left the company, and I was basically in charge of the company with another person who was doing the sales. And then a year later he left, and basically I've run the company with Louise Hay, the founder of Hay House, since then. And at the beginning, when I started at Hay House, we had like 3 books and 5 audio tapes that we sold. And back then they really were audio tapes on audio cassettes. And then we grew for the next 20 years. Every year our sales went up at Hay House, and our influence expanded, and we started publishing other authors. Our first book that we did from a prominent person was Jerry Jampolsky, who was famous back then and for writing about A Course in Miracles. And we did audio tapes with Marianne Williamson, and we did audio tapes with Bernie Siegel, who were both popular then. And then we started doing stuff with Wayne Dyer, and Doreen Virtue came to us, and then we grew from there. We definitely started small, but now we're the largest publisher in our area, which is like self-help, metaphysics, new age, self-improvement is what we call it. We're the largest publisher in those areas in the United States, the UK, Canada, and Australia.
It's just amazing, amazing history. And I've loved Louise Hay for years and years. And I know that she started this business at a very mature age, didn't she?
Yep, she started Hay House when she was 60 years old. So in 1987, she started Hay House, and she just turned 90 last October. And so if anyone that is thinking that they're too old to get started, you can see all the things that Louise was able to accomplish from 60 to 90. So she's definitely done much more after 60 than before.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of that is by surrounding yourself with really good people, such as yourself, now running the company, which is just marvelous. You know, so many people, I think, when they start on a new endeavor, and you mentioned this, of course, Louise probably didn't know that much about publishing when she got involved, and you were in a totally different field. Can you speak a little bit, Reed, to what it takes to overcome the fear of an area that you don't know, or how you approach that to become so accomplished and really be the backbone of making this business so successful?
I think some of the big things that are important if you want to try something new that you haven't done before is you have to be willing to learn about that certain area. Like recently, Hay House started doing online courses. We started the idea 4 years ago, and we released the first course 3 years ago, and we've like created a whole new business for Hay House over that time. And the way that we are able to do it is similar to the way I did it when I started Hay House, is you just have to be willing to learn from the people that know how to do it and be willing to admit that you need to learn something new. Like a lot of people come into something and they've already been successful in other areas and they might think they know everything about it, instead of coming in with the idea that, hey, I need to learn new things. You're like a new person in a new place, like kids are, you know, they're always willing to try to learn new things. And I think that's the key, is always be willing to learn new things. That's something Louise has always done. Like she learned ballroom dancing when she turned 80, and she did art when she turned like 85 or something like that. I mean, it's amazing how she kept learning new things, and that's kind of the approach that I've taken, is try to always learn from the people that you're around and learn what they're doing that's successful, and then apply it to what you're trying to do. And you're not going to do it exactly the way they did, but you have to apply your circumstances to the ideas and then try to make that a success for you. So I think the number one thing is just be willing to learn new things.
I find for my own self that if I have a passion for whatever it is that I'm needing to learn about anew, it's not like work. It's really just a great adventure if you feel
right.
passionate
and
about
then you
it.
Can create your own. Passion is just the belief. So if your belief is, I want to learn these new things, I want to have this new feeling in my life, then you have to try something different than what you've done in the past.
A lot of our audience are writers, authors. What would you say to those that are kind of stuck and are not able to get around to making their first book happen? What words of encouragement or advice would you give them?
Sure. I do an online course on helping people to write, the Hay House Writers Workshop, and we've had thousands and thousands of people go through it, and I do live events doing this as well around the world. I'm in the U.S., U.K., Australia. And I think that what we find as the biggest thing that stops people from getting their book written is, one of the biggest things is the fear that when they finish the book that people aren't going to like it, or the acceptance of what they're doing. Like we did a survey of the people, and I was actually a little bit surprised to see that result, is that that's one of the biggest things that holds people back. And number one, I'd say that, you know, you have to overcome that fear and get your work out there. And then when you do get your work out there, when you finish the book and you get it out, don't concentrate on the negative things that people say, because no matter how good a book is, someone's going to say something negative about your book. But instead, concentrate on the positive things and the things you can do to help people with your book. At Hay House, all the books that we do in some way help people. Even the fiction books might entertain them. We have all different kinds of books here, but all of them are around the subject of helping other people. And if you concentrate on getting your book out to share your experience with the world, with other people, and helping them in their lives, then that can be a good motivation for you to finish it and to share your success and what you've done in the world with other people, because that's the kind of books we do. Other people who are doing, let's say you're doing a biography or you're doing other kinds of books like that, still your books are going to help people learn more about the subject you're writing about. Or if you're doing poetry books, it's going to inspire people. I mean, every book has that impact on people. And even if you help 100 people, 1,000 people, it's going to have a big impact in the people's lives that take the time to read your book. So the best advice I have is to get them done, and not only get them done or get it started, but if you want to or need to, you can always get help getting your book completed. Because in my workshops, I teach people, I go into great detail, but I'll give a little summary now. But there's an author of a book, which is the person with the idea, with the concept, with the experience they want to share. And then there's a writer to the book, and the writer is the person that writes the words and gets them all right. Sometimes the author and the writer are the same person. But in many cases, and probably 50% of the books that are published in the United States, it's not the case. Like, the author has the idea and the concept, but they hire someone, the writer, to help them get that concept out. So those of you that are struggling to get your ideas written and you feel you are the only one to get it on paper, I'm here to tell you there's a lot of talented people out there that are really good at writing, that can keep your voice and can get the information down on the paper for you and get it shared with the world without you having to write the book. So that might be another thing that can help people understand that they can share their messages without actually having to sit down and write all the words themselves.
That's such a great point. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that can be such an empowering factor for writers to know that, you know, even if they're authoring a book, they don't have to do it all themselves. I like to always say, if it's something that you don't want to learn or you don't have to learn it, you can delegate that. And there's nothing wrong with that in business or in the process of creating a book. So again, thanks for bringing that up, Reed. I was wondering, what do you look for in a book? What, in your estimation, makes a good book?
Well, the main thing that I look for is the author of the book and their intention for writing the book and their experience in writing the book, because obviously that's going to come through when they get the book out. So first is the author, their experience. And we like books that are in certain niche areas, like the people think that they're written for a specific area. It could be cultured food. It could be, you know, any kind of area that the person's an expert in, but you have a place to start talking about the book. And the book might be able to go to more people in the future, but it has a place to start. Like, we have books, let's say you write a book about thyroid health, or you write a book about certain specific areas, those tend to do better than broad books just on happiness or something like that, because that's a big broad area. A lot of people might want to work on it, but it's hard to get attention in that area. So we like things that are in niche areas, and we also pay attention if the person can write or not. And if they can't write, are they willing to have a writer help them do it? Because a lot of people sign book contracts and then aren't able to finish the book. Like you mentioned earlier, a lot of people have a concept and can't finish. That's the same can be true even when they have a good idea for a book to get it done. So they either can write well or they have someone to help them write the book are some of the things that we consider. And then also one of the big considerations in the publishing world, we call it the platform. And what the platform is really your direct connection to your audience. So that you have a platform or a direct connection to your audience to tell them about your book and get other people to buy it. It's the part that most of the authors and writers don't want to hear about. They don't want to hear that they actually have to promote the book when they get it done. They think they can just write it and the publisher does all the promotion. But in reality, most publishers do less than 5% of the promotion. 95% of the promotion is done by the author. So we look for authors that are able to do the promotion and get their books out into the world.
That's fantastic. It's a really good point because so many times I think when people first start the endeavor of writing a book, they think when they finish the book, it's done. And that's when the journey begins. The biggest part of the journey really begins.
Well, there's two journeys. One is to write the book, and that might take a year. And then the second journey is to promote the book, which could be 20 years if you have a good book that keeps selling and selling and selling. So definitely the promotion part is a much longer part than the writing part in most cases. There are some exceptions where people take 10 years to write a book or something like that, and then the writing and the promotion might be the same, but in most cases the writing is the easy part and the promotion is the much more difficult part. And it's also the much more important part, because if you write the greatest book in the whole world and no one reads it, it doesn't matter how good the book is because it's not getting out there. And the number one way that books sell is by word of mouth, but you have to get people to read them before they can tell their friends. So if no one's reading your book, no one's telling your friends, even if it's the greatest book ever. There's a whole bunch of the greatest books ever that no one's ever read because the authors didn't have the ability or didn't have the knowledge of how to promote their book.
Again, another really, really good point. So you have been immersed in the publishing world for decades. There's been a lot of changes. What is your perception of how the world has changed and what that looks like for authors today?
Well, all the changes are super beneficial to authors. So now is the greatest time ever to be an author because there's so many more ways to get your books out to reach people. So in the early days of publishing, like when I started 29 years ago, the main bookstore chains at that time were Walden Books and B. Dalton Books and Little Professor Books. And those bookstores held about 10,000 books. And if your book wasn't in those bookstores, your chance of selling was almost zero. So there were about 10,000 books that got attention, and maybe there'd be 20,000 because books went in and out of the store. And the only real way to get your book to sell was to be in the store, and the only people that got books into the store were major publishers. So then along came Borders Books, which is no longer here, but they were the first one to do a larger concept stores, and they would hold 100,000 or 70 to 100,000 books. And it started giving more people access to space and bookstores, and more books were discovered. When I started in publishing, there was no self-help section in a bookstore. And now it's one of the biggest sections in a bookstore. And that's all because of Borders and later Barnes & Noble doing these larger concept stores and people finding out that people really wanted to figure out ways to help themselves and do different things. Before that, people didn't think there was that big of an audience for it because there didn't have a big section in the bookstores for those things, so people didn't know. In the beginning times of publishing when I started, and up until like 10 years ago when Amazon started, how books were sold is people would go into a bookstore to buy another book and come out with two or three or four. So like most of the books were sold in bookstores, almost all of them, and most of them were purchased by people looking for one and buying and discovering others. That has changed. Now you can tell people about your book through social media. You can do email. You can do all the myriad of online opportunities available to you. And when they hear about your book, they can click and buy it instantly. They don't need to go to a bookstore. They don't need to do anything. So no matter if you use a publisher or you self-publish, you can get exposure for your books easily, much more easily today than any time ever before. And then the options and the price, if you want to self-publish, is so much cheaper. and you can still make a success self-publishing, whereas in the early days, it was very difficult to make that success. And another big myth about publishing is that if you self-publish your books, that a big publisher won't ever pick it up. That's totally untrue. If you self-publish your book and it's successful, you'll have a line of publishers that will want to take over the sales of your book. Basically, it's the best time ever to be an author. So all of those of you who are getting started, get started now. The number of books being sold isn't growing significantly, but it's not shrinking either. It's staying about the same. In nonfiction books, between 70 and 80% of the books people are buying are still physical books, and they're purchasing 20 to 30% like e-books. So it's a good balance in there. For fiction, it's much more e-books than physical books, because mostly people that read fiction, they don't care if they have the book on their bookshelf later. They just want to read it and go on to the next thing. So e-books are perfect for that. And a lot of people with nonfiction want to keep the book and have it for later. So I don't know if that answered the question you asked, but there's some information for you.
Yes, that's absolutely perfect. And I think the idea that e-books are becoming so predominant, we've had our award-winning magazine, which you will grace the covers. We're so thrilled you're going to be a part of that as well. And it's been around for about 10 years. And we used to sell so many because it's very high gloss, beautiful photographs of all the authors that are featured. And we used to sell so many that were paperback or print copies. Yes. And we still, of course, make it available in print, but we're predominantly now selling it electronically. It's very interesting, the transition.
Yep, a lot of people just definitely are relating to the quickness, easiness. Like the Wall Street Journal, I think they have 50% of their readers are online readers compared to, you know, 5 years ago it was 10% or something. So people are definitely gravitating towards especially news online and to some extent books for sure.
Well, since you're such an unbelievable publishing expert, we can't let you get away without giving us your top tips on writing a book and having a book be seen.
Yeah, the biggest thing is just to share your experience with other people as a tip to how to get it out. And people are interested in that. They want to know your knowledge. They want to know your life experience. I think another tip on writing is to write it for the taxi cab drivers. Wayne Dyer used to always say that, you know, I write my books for the taxi cab drivers rather than the college professors. He was a college professor, so he obviously could have written for the college professors, but those aren't the main people reading your book. So know who your audience is that you want to reach. If you want to write an academic book for your colleagues, that's great, but realize the limitations of that. Realize who your audience you want to reach and write toward to them, and include personal stories or stories of clients or things that make it interesting. Don't just preach to the reader about do this, do this, do this. Make it practical to them to share ideas, thoughts, places, things so they can relate to it in their own life, because that's when they're going to finish the book. And if they read the whole entire book, they're most likely going to tell their friends. And that's what you want. Like, how many of you have read a book and told a friend about it? I bet every single one of you. And how many of you have had a friend tell you, you got to read this book? So that's the goal as an author, is get people to want to tell their friends about your book. If you write a book that people start telling their friends about, you're going to have a big success on your hands, even if it takes a while to get going, because it's a never-ending thing that happens. And especially today with social media, people can post it and say, you got to get this book, and they share it with their friends, and everybody knows instantly. It's not like you even have to wait till you see them or talk to them on the phone anymore. So that helps tremendously with exposure for you, your book, for your ideas and concepts. And also, I would say the other thing is to start building an audience well before you write the book. so that when the book is released, you have someone that will want to purchase the book. Don't wait to build your audience till after the book is written. So some of you who are struggling to finish writing your book, start working on building an audience, even if it's 200, 2,000, 10,000 people that know who you are. When the book's released, you're going to have an audience of people that will want to read the book and then tell their friends and get it started. So those are, I think, my top tips for today.
Oh, wonderful. And Reed, I was wondering, Wayne Dyer is like one of my favorite authors of all time. And we just took a book to bestseller. I think it was her fifth bestselling book for a friend of mine. She also has the capacity of bringing the authenticity into her book, as I feel Wayne Dyer always did, to draw you in a way where you felt like you were having a cup of coffee with them or you were living it with them. And when the book is done, you almost miss them as if you had a personal interaction with them, like live in person. The nature of the writing is, again, so authentic. Can you give any tips about how people bring that to their writing? Because I think as a reader, that's one of the things that I find so engaging.
Yeah, I think it's like I said, the number one way that Wayne did it is he wrote personal stories, you know, or stories about clients he worked with. And I think that's what gets people engaged. It's like when he gave his speeches, basically they were all a whole bunch of stories that he told that tied together. And that's the same with the books. They're stories that implement the points you're trying to make. So you can make a point and then tell a story of how it impacts somebody's life or impacts another person, and that's what we all get caught up in. That's the reason why, you know, people tell their friends, is they're like, oh my God, I loved all the stories. I loved, you know, how easy it was to read. You don't ever see them say, you know, it was real complicated and it took me years to figure out, but, you know, you should definitely try it and spend a couple years on it. You know, everyone's saying it was easy to read, and I changed my perspective or my life quickly. So I think that's one of the reasons. Wayne was a master at giving speeches, telling stories, and he was a master at including those stories in his book as well.
Yeah, it definitely creates a very intimate experience, I think.
Yeah, you know, and he wasn't afraid to tell his own personal stories, which I think a lot of people don't want to tell the truth about themselves. But the truth about yourself is what people want to really find out about. I do a newsletter every week called Present Moments from Hay House, and I basically just tell personal stories in there every week. And everywhere I go, people go, oh, I love your newsletter. It's so great. And I was so worried that no one would even care because I started writing it when Louise stopped writing hers every week. And I've said, like, who's going to care about me or what I have to say? But just telling people these personal stories gets them connected with you over time.
It really does. And it also lends to whatever you're writing a sense of vulnerability that I think makes people, again, experience something very intimate when you're vulnerable.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Fantastic. Well, Reed, thank you so much for your time and your ever so busy schedule today to share all of these wonderful nuggets of wisdom with us. And I know that people will want to learn more about you and about Hay House. Is there some way they can do that on the web? I'm sure there is.
Yep, they can just go to hayhouse.com. They can sign up for our newsletter. And then also hayhouse.com, we have events if you want to come to our live writer's workshop or our online writer's workshop. You can go to hayhouseu.com, and there's some free videos there, and you can watch those.
Fantastic. Well, once again, thank you so much for being with us and for sharing so generously.
My pleasure.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com, and everyone have a wonderful week.